Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for bringing us here this morning. We know that there is no other name given to man in which we can be saved. Lord, we thank you for the name of Jesus. And it is in the name of Jesus that we come before you this morning to ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us and to direct us. I pray for myself the promise that you gave to Moses when you said, "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou wilt say." Lord, please put your words in my mouth, that I may speak the message that is from above. Hide me behind the cross, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Let everyone say amen and amen. Happy Sabbath, church family. That was terribly unconvincing. Let's try it one more time. Happy Sabbath, church family. Happy Sabbath. Amen. Like there's sunshine in your world today. Amen. It is always so wonderful to look back in our lives and to see God leading in our lives as individuals. Amen. Every single one of you can look back and you can see how God led you in your life. How many of you say amen to that? I was talking to some of my friends who went to school with me, and we were talking about the wonderful things that God had done in our lives. And we were just pondering, and it was such a blessing because we look back, we look where we were, and we look where God has brought us to the point where we are. And it's such an amazing thing, and we know for sure that God is not going to leave us here, but He will lead us forward. Amen? He will lead us up higher. Amen? My brothers and my sisters, I pray, and my desire for you as well as for me is that we will not stay stagnant in our relationship with Jesus. That we will continue to desire for something higher. Amen? For a bigger faith in Jesus. Amen? And as we were talking, we recalled a story of one of my friends. His name was Tosh Paklev. He was 16 years old, and in the island of Oahu, in Hawaii, his nickname was actually Chronic. That was his nickname. And the reason why, he was an only child, he didn't grow up with God, and so his life kind of went the opposite way from God. And as he was living the life of partying and drugs and all these things, is 15-year-old young man came and knocked on his door. His name was Reynaldo Bibit. He came and knocked on the door of Tosh Paklev while he was wasting his life away in drugs and partying. He knocked his door. Tosh opened the door. He was high. And he said that he remembered how Reynaldo invited him to an evangelistic series where Tosh gave his life to Jesus. And then we began remembering how Tosh came to St. Gabriel Academy, where I was taken by some of my friends because I was also involved in a life of drugs and partying. And it was there where I heard Tosh's testimony. And it was there where I give my life to Jesus. And that's why I'm here today. You know, and I can go on. We went on seeing how God has used me to touch somebody else's life, and how that person has touched somebody else's life. And the story goes on and on, because we see how God has led us in the past. We can be sure that God will lead us in the future. And you know, one of my favorite quotes of Ellen White, she says that we not to fear the future unless we forget how God has led us where? In the past. If we forget how God's leading us in the past, we will be afraid of the future. And I know that our economy is going what? Down. But we can be sure that God will provide for us. Amen? We cannot be afraid of what's going to happen in the future because we can see back and we can recall how God led us in the past. Amen? We can be sure that God will lead us in the future. Why am I bringing this story up, or why am I saying these things? The title of our sermon this morning is called Forgetting is an Act of Faith. Forgetting is an act of faith. Why am I saying this? There is things that we need to remember, but things that we remember affects us in two ways. How many ways? All right. Is everybody with me? Yes? All right. Don't go to sleep. The two ways that can affect us, the things that we remember, is they're either going to lift us up closer to God, or they are going to drag us down closer to the world. Amen? The things that we think about, the things that we are remembering, will either do two things. It will either draw us closer to God, or it will draw us down. Amen? And we're going to see that as we continue with our study. Forgetting is an act of faith. Go with me in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 3, beginning with verse 9 and 10. And when you're there, let me hear you say amen. If you don't have a Bible with you, there should be some Bibles in front of your pew. And we're going to, everybody, I want to see your Bibles. Exodus chapter 3, I want to hear the pages turning. All right, Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse 9 and 10. And when you're there, let me hear you say amen. I still hear pages turning. Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse 9 and 10. The Bible says, "Now behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come up to me, and I have heard the cry of the children of Israel. And I have seen the oppression in which the Egyptians oppressed them." Now verse 10 tells us, "Now come," the Bible tells us, that God told Moses, "Come now, and I will send you unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest," what? "Bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of," what? "Egypt." We know the condition that the Israelites were. They were in the condition of what? Slavery. There were slaves in Egypt. There were slaves in Egypt. And God had heard their cry, and God wanted to deliver them out of the land of Egypt. Amen? The Bible tells us that in verse 9. God said, "Now therefore come, for I've heard the cry of my people, the children of Israel. I've seen the oppression." In the Bible, the land of Egypt is a symbol of sin. How do I know that? Revelation chapter 11 and verse 8. Turn with me there. The last book of the Bible. And when you're there, let me hear you say amen. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 8. And when you're there, say amen. Revelation 11 verse 8. And the Bible says, "And their bodies will lay down in the streets of that great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and" what? "Egypt, where also our Lord was" what? So Egypt is a symbol of what? Sin. Why? Jesus died on the cross because of? So spiritually, the streets of that great city, Sodom and Egypt, are also a symbol of what? Sin. So the Bible says that Moses was called to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. The same way God sent Jesus to deliver humanity out of sin. Amen? Jesus came to this world, not only, my brother and my sisters, to die for our sins, but to deliver us out of our sins. How many of you say amen to that? You know how I know that? The Bible tells me so. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. When you're there, let me hear you say amen. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 1 verse 21, the angel Gabriel came unto Joseph and said unto him, and she, speaking of Mary, shall bring forth a son, and ye shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from what? So Jesus came to save us from our sins. Also, the Bible tells us in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 10. A lot of us are familiar with the text. Luke, chapter 19, and verse 10. Jesus said, for the Son of Man. Are you there? Amen. Luke, chapter 19, and verse 10. For the Son of Man has not come. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was what? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen, my brothers and my sisters. Jesus came to do the very same thing that Moses was commanded to do. Let's pick up the story once again in Exodus chapter 14. And we're going to see to what extent God delivered the children of Israel. Because the same way that God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt is the same way that God wants to deliver us out of sin. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 14 and reading verse 28. We know that the children of Israel had gone out of Egypt. They had left Egypt, and on their way to Egypt, all of a sudden, they find themselves in front of the Red Sea. And right behind them is Pharaoh's army. Now, was Pharaoh coming to wish him farewell? Was he coming and saying, hey, you know what? I forgot to pack you guys for lunch. I'm sorry. It was my bad. You know, I'm, you know, here's some veggie turkey sandwiches, you know, and some vegetarian, Big Franks. And I'm sorry. I hope you have a wonderful time worshiping God on the other side of the Red Sea. Was Pharaoh going to do that? I'm being sarcastic, am I not? What was Pharaoh coming to do? He was going to show them who was the boss. He was going to bring them back to where? To Egypt. My brothers and my sisters, the same thing happens in our lives. Whenever we have made a choice and we are trying to leave sin, the first thing that Satan tries to do is drag us back where? Back to sin. Or we can say back to Egypt. We have made a conscious choice. We are trying to leave. And whenever a situation happens, Satan tries to whisper in our ears, no, don't go there. Say, God is not going to help you. And he begins trying to make us doubt God, bringing us back where? To Egypt. But look at the Bible. Exodus chapter 14, verse 28. Are you there? Amen. The Bible says, Jesus, God parted the Red Sea, and the Bible says that the children of Israel passed through it. And verse 28 tells us that the waters returned, and they covered the chariots, and the horsemen, and the army of Pharaoh, that they came into the sea after them, and one Egyptian soldier, after the sea came back, crawled onto the shore, and survived. Thank you, brother. The Bible goes to the extent to tell us that there was not one Egyptian soldier left. What does that mean to you and to me? Victory. Thank you so much for hearing that, saying that. Victory. When God sets out to deliver his people, he delivers them completely. To the point that there was nothing that could bring back the children of Israel, because the only thing that could bring the children of Israel back to Egypt was Pharaoh's army. And here we see in the Bible very clearly that God had destroyed every single opposition in the children of Israel's lives. To the point that the only way that the children of Israel could go back to Egypt is if they themselves chose to go back to Egypt. If they themselves got a little boat and started paddling across the Red Ocean back to where? To Egypt. The only way that they could go back to Egypt is if they themselves chose to go back to Egypt. Forgetting is an act of faith. Exodus chapter 16, two chapters after that. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 2 and 3. The children of Israel are already out of Egypt. No Egyptian army whatsoever. They're on the way to the promised land. And on the way to the promised land, there are some hard things that happen to them. No. There was no water. In verse 2 of chapter 16, when you're there, say amen. The Bible says, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and against Aaron in the wilderness. And verse 3 tells us, you see how fast it is that they've forgotten that God had done wonderful things for them? Chapter 15 is a whole song dedicated on the deliverance of them out of the land of Egypt. Yet in chapter 16, right away, they what? They forget. But look at what they didn't forget. Verse 3. And the children of Israel said unto them, oh, that we had died in the land by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, where we sat by the pots of mead, and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with what? With hunger. God, you brought us here. They began complaining. But their minds were remembering what? You tell me. They're remembering what? They're remembering Egypt. See, physically they have left Egypt, but their minds and their hearts were still where? In Egypt. They were still there. See, physically left the country of Egypt, but their hearts. Turn with me to the book of Genesis as we have one example of what happens when we leave a place physically, but we do not leave that place with our hearts and in our minds, we do not leave it. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 16. Genesis, what chapter are we going to? All right, if you see somebody sleeping or snoozing right next to you, just lean over very nicely and just tap them in the shoulder. Amen? All right. In Genesis chapter 19, what verse are we going to? Verse 26. Genesis chapter 19, verse 26. Are you there? Amen? But his wife looked back behind him. And she became a what? The sad story of Sister Lot. See, God had come. He had sent his angels to deliver her and her family out of destruction, the destruction of Sodom. And as she was leaving, the angels told her, do not look back. And what is the first thing that she did? Why do you think she looked back? Was it because she dropped something? Or was it, I forgot to pack a lunch once again. You know, she looks back. She's like, she looked back. You know why? The book Patriarchs and Prophets tells us that she looked back because she thought it unfair of God to be asking such a thing from her. She thought it unfair of God that God was asking her to leave everything that she had so hard worked for to accumulate all this wealth, all these things that she had so hardly worked for. Jesus and God were asking her to leave those things behind and to run for her life. Yet she looked back because she was living physically, but her mind, she says, and her heart were still where? In Sodom. She had left physically, but her heart, her affections were still in Sodom. They were still in Sodom. In the Bible, personally, I think that there is three most powerful sermons in the Bible, to me personally. The first one, which one do you think in my list is the first most powerful sermon in the Bible? The crucifixion, okay? But a sermon, somebody preaching. The Sermon on the Mountain, thank you. Why? Who preached the sermon? Jesus, amen. What about number two? Which one do you think? John the Baptist, who? Paul, all right? But we see, I'm talking about Peter. Peter, wonderful sermon. How many people give their lives to Jesus with the sermon? 3,000, right there, one sermon, amen? That's how powerful it was. To me, number three in my list is actually found in the book of Acts chapter 7, so let's turn there. The sermon of Stephen. The sermon of what? Stephen. I tell you, the sermon, as you turn there, the sermon was so powerful that he got stoned for it. That's how convicting the truth was. The Pharisees and the Sadducees could not handle the truth, and so they had to stone poor brother Stephen. I hope that doesn't happen when I'm stand outside, you know, greeting you and people start picking off stones. But if it does, that's okay too. Acts chapter 7, let's look at verse 39. And when you're there, let me hear you say amen. Acts chapter 7, beginning with verse 39. Speaking of the children of Israel and Moses. Verse 39 says, to whom our fathers would not obey, but what? Rejected, and in their what? Hearts, they're turned back where? See, in physically they had left Egypt, but the Bible tells us that in their hearts, they many times had gone back where? They had gone back to Egypt. And I know that I'm repeating myself over and over, but my brothers and my sisters, repetition equals impression. Forgetting, my brothers and my sisters, is an act of faith. The reason why the children of Israel were not able to enter into the promised land, it was because they had not forgotten what? Egypt. They continue to recall upon it. If you don't believe me, turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 11, as we almost finish. This will be one of our last scriptures. I've only taken 20 minutes of your beautiful time. Let's go to the book of Numbers. I'll be trying to finish in 5 minutes. And when I say I'm going to finish in 5 minutes, I want you to look very sad, okay? Numbers chapter 11. And what verse are we going to? Numbers chapter 11. And let's read verses 4 and 5. Are you there? Amen. Numbers chapter 11, verse 4 and 5. Now the mixed multitude who are among them yield an intense craving, so that the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us what? Flesh, another version says meat, to eat. Now, I'll leave that to your own imaginations, but I don't have to spend a lot of time in this Bible text. When the Bible says give us flesh or give us meat, they were not only talking about eating meat, but they were talking about other lusts of the flesh. Okay? They were giving up to the lust of the flesh. And you can look at verse 5. What are the two first words in that text? We what? Remember. See, they have not forgotten. They hadn't forgotten what? Egypt. They are still remembering. They're remembering Egypt. And they say, in the fish which we freely eat in Egypt, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic, they're remembering Egypt. You can hear their voices. You can hear their they're agonizing. They're like going, I remember Egypt and all the variety that we used to eat, the fish and the garlic. And they're talking about all these things, and you can hear the longing in their voices, even though in Egypt there were slaves. There were slaves in Egypt, my brothers and my sisters, and yet they're remembering now how God has led them, but they're remembering all. And you know why they're saying this, my brothers and my sisters? If you read Numbers chapter 11, it's talking about one thing and one thing only. They're talking about the manna. And we know in Scripture, manna represents who? Jesus. But not only that, it represents what? The Word of God. They're rejecting God's Word. They're rejecting Jesus. And they're remembering what? Egypt. And if you continue to read in those verses, there is one verse that tells us that they say that they despise this dry manna. They despise it. My brothers and my sisters, there is hundreds and thousands of people in this world who are despising the living Word of God. And there's many of us, many times, despise the Word of God. But I praise God that He doesn't leave us there. Amen? He wants to give us true breath. Amen? The true breath of life, which is found in Jesus Christ. Let's go to our last Bible text, found in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Now we know Hebrews chapter 11 to be the chapter of, thank you, the faith chapter. All the preachers call it the God's honor roll, or God's trophy case. These people lived and overcame by faith. Thank you. Faith in who? In themselves? Faith in the world? Faith in God. Faith in Jesus. Amen? Now the Bible tells us in verse 13. Are you there? Chapter 11, verse 13. Amen? These all die in what? In faith. Speaking of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Enoch, talks about Abel. These all die in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them what? Afar off, they what? They embrace them, the Bible says, and they what? Confess that they were strangers and pilgrims. Where? Now we know the story of Abraham. God asked Abraham to leave the land of the Chaldeans and to go forth into a land that he would show him. And Abraham did, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 2 verse 4, that Abraham did according as the Lord had commanded, and he went into the land where God showed him. He went, he left everything. And the Bible tells us right here in Hebrews that they were confessing, that they were what? What is your confession? Don't answer me. Just think about it. What is your confession? And remember, my brothers and my sisters, sometimes our confession has nothing to do with what we say, but it has a lot to do with what we do. Are we confessing through our actions that we are seeking a better land? That we are just strangers and pilgrims upon this earth? Are we showing that? Are we confessing? Are we professing that in our lives? Now look at verse 14. For those who say such things, who are those who are saying such things? The people those surrounded Abraham and Jacob and Isaac, all the heathen nations that were around them, they looked at Isaac, they looked at Abraham, and they made sure that it was plainly what they were professing, that they were strangers and pilgrims in this land. Now I want to finish with verse 15. Are you there? Is everybody awake? This is our last text. And truly, you read that with me, if they have called to what? To mind the country from which they had come out of, they would have had the what? The opportunity to go back. See, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, when they left, they forgot. By faith, they made it an act of faith to forget about the land of the Chaldeans. They left it. They forgot about it. And their eyes were focused where? On heaven. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 16. Where is your desire? Look where the desire of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was. Look at this. But now their desire a better what? Country. A heavenly country. A heavenly country. Therefore, God is not what? Ashamed. I hope that God is not ashamed of any of us this morning. I hope. That's my desire. My desire that God will not be ashamed of us. And how is God not ashamed of us? When our desires. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is our desires, my brothers and my sisters? Where is our mind? Is our mind in last week's game? I hope not. Let's forget about those things that so easily beset us. Let's put them aside. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, now seeing such a great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight of sin that so easily beset us. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the hope that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame. My brothers and my sisters, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, it was not the nails, not the tree that kept him in the cross. It was his love for you, and it was his love for me. Jesus, when he was hanging on the cross, he was looking through the portals and he could see you and he could see I am in the kingdom of heaven. Let's keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And let's put aside all the things. Let's forget all the things that instead of uplifting us closer to God, they're dragging us down. Word to perdition. How many of you want to say, Lord, I want to keep my eyes focused on Jesus. I want you to help me to forget. By faith, Lord, help me to forget those things that drag me down. How many of you want to say that? Raise your hand. Keep your hand up. If you want to say that, if you really truly mean that, you raise your hand, I want you to stand. Stand with me. Remember, you're not standing because I asked you to. You're standing because you're making a conscious choice that you're saying, Lord, I want to keep my eyes focused on Jesus, and I want you to help me to forget those things by faith. Help me to trust you more. I know that that's your desire. I know that that's your decision because you're standing. And you're making this decision to who? To God. Not to me. Not to a preacher. But to God. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, not only did you see us raise our hands up high, but Lord, you also are seeing your children, your daughters, and your sons standing, making a choice, Lord, saying, Father, we cannot do it in our own power. We cannot do it in our own strength. But Lord, help us by faith in you and in your blood to trust you. Lord, more important, help us, Lord, to forget those things that drag us down. Lord, we thank you. We praise you because all the way my Savior lead us. All the way Jesus leads us. Father, we thank you because we can trust in you. We ask that you please be with our hearts. And Lord, continue to put your Holy Spirit in us so that we will live not by flesh, but by your Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, says the Lord. We thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, let everyone say amen and amen. Our closing hymn, or hymn of dedication,